Welcome to the Forward Marketing Podcast, the podcast that covers internet marketing strategies and leadership tactics to move your business forward with your host, Joshua Jarvis.
Welcome back to Forward Marketing Podcast. That's the number four, RD Marketing. And again, I'm your host, Joshua Jarvis. Last week, we covered the exciting topic of how to convert internet leads. And I'm being a little bit facetious because it kind of felt a little dull, but I really wanted to cover it because it is one of the most common things I talk to business owners about. They'll hire me to generate internet leads for them, and they'll get this massive number of leads in, but they don't have any systems to follow up with them, and so it tends to be a big problem. In fact, they don't realize that speed to the lead is probably the number one reason they're not converting as much as they want. But if they don't get it on the first try, they certainly aren't following up enough to convert the leads. And so that's why we did last week's episode that way. And so hopefully you got a lot out of that. But this week we're covering the five key metrics every business owner should know. And, you know, again, last week I mentioned that I wanted to have sort of two resource episodes, so to speak, that I could send business owners to. So if they had a question about, I want to start a new business or something like that, I could just send them the episode and then we could have a conversation. You know, so I get a lot of questions about, you know, should I do PPC or pay-per-click? Should I do SEO, search engine optimization? Should I do those things? And, of course, I'm always like, yeah, you should totally do those things because I know it's going to generate opportunities for their business. But at the same time, if they don't have a system in place, sometimes it can even be bad for their business. And in fact, I learned this lesson the hard way. We at one point were generating, we had like, I think, 50 home buyer opportunities for myself and for another agent on the team. And once the agent was going, I was like, he's a good agent. He's a really good guy. I said, what I'm going to do is if he's doing this good with 50, you know, between the two of us, imagine what he would do if I cranked it up. So I did. I cranked it up and started working hard on generating leads. And so we cranked it up from 50 to 300. And I can just remember his closing ratio went way down. Our business started to kind of sputter. I was like, what is going on? And what it was like basically like he was drinking out of a fire hose. Instead of having, you know, a nice gallon jug filled with water every day, he had the fire hose and he was trying to catch it. And it just wasn't working. We didn't have systems in place back then to sort of cultivate the leads as they came in so that if we missed the phone call that they weren't being followed up on at all. So if we didn't catch them on the phone, then they weren't getting followed up on because we didn't have the automation back then. This was probably 10 years or so ago. So sometimes a massive number of internet leads can be a bad thing for a business. Had a recent accountant business that went through that. They hired us, they got a bunch of business, and they said, oh, we got to turn it off so we can close this business. And that's really sort of unfortunate because a lot of businesses have that roller coaster of things up and down. So that's the reason why we do these episodes, because we really want to help business owners move forward. That's the whole point of the marketing podcast. We want to help you move your business forward. And the purpose of your business is not just for your family, but the purpose of your business is to impact your community. So if you're not doing that, you need to be thinking about that. How you can be more than just successful, but be significant. So today's episode, about five metrics every business owner should know. And one of them is, the number one is your customer acquisition cost. Now, this is going to be one of those episodes that maybe feels a little dull because we're talking about numbers, and numbers are not always fun. But for you, the nerdy type that are out there that love numbers, this is your episode. In fact, it may not be even detailed enough for you. So basically, though, you take your total marketing cost plus any salaries or other expenses that you can actually associate to this marketing channel, if you will, and then you divide it by the number of customers generated. So it's pretty straightforward. If a certain marketing technique costs, let's say a billboard is $15,000, and does it cost anything for you to manage that billboard? No, right? So you don't have to calculate any resources for that, to put it pretty simple. If it generated, say, 5 customers over a course of a month, and that was the time period that you were measuring, then you'd have a $3,000 cost of acquisition on that, customer acquisition. So pretty straightforward. In fact, this is exactly how when you're running pay-per-click ads on Google, for instance, it's exactly one of the numbers that we look at, cost per acquisition. So what we do is we say, how much money are we spending on the clicks? What's the total cost of that divided by the number of goal conversions that we have? So there's a bunch of little metrics inside of there that are important, but the cost per acquisition is really important because it gives us an idea of what the actual cost per lead is. Now, your cost per acquisition is not the same. Okay, it's not going to be exactly the same as a Google AdWords display because it's pretty obvious that we're talking about cost per lead because they basically have filled out a form. You're talking about cost per customer acquisition. So let's say a real estate agent was doing this. They probably would do exactly what I just said. They did some sort of marketing campaign. It cost $5,000. They got two clients out of it. Oh, it cost me $2,500. Did it really? So then you take, what are the associated costs that go with that? Maybe there was 4 hours of admin help. Maybe there was, say at $50 an hour. So maybe there's another, had to utilize a courier service for $175. So you need to calculate all of that to get a true customer acquisition cost. But if you just do the very simple, hey, it costs this, and this is what we got, you'll still be light years ahead if you didn't do anything at all. And I think this is a great place to start, is to say, real estate agents, they spend a ton of money, let's say on Zillow. How much money did I spend on Zillow last year? How many leads did I get? How many leads did I close? What's the cost per lead? What's the cost per acquisition of the customer, of the closing? And then if you really wanted, for all my super advanced nerdy people, if you really wanted to go deeper, then you could go, well, how much, if I used a sort of inside salesperson that costs, $8 an hour, how much did that cost to generate, to convert these and get a much finer number? So basically the better the number though, the easier it is to predict your business, the easier it is to sort of propel your business forward. So customer acquisition is very, very important. The other thing that I think is missed, the other category, is the lifetime value of a customer. So the customer acquisition costs, CAC, if you're Googling that and want to calculate that, you want to follow up on what I'm telling you. CAC is the commonly used acronym for that. Lifetime value of a customer is called LTV. Now, so I'm from real estate, so loan to value is what I see that as. But lifetime value of a customer is LTV. And basically, you want to take your customers sort of an average time and what they spend. So say 90 days, a year. Usually it works better if you do it over years. And how much are they spending with your business? Or how many times, if they select you for a service business, for instance, for instance, in real estate, they buy a house every 10 years. So what's the lifetime value of a customer? Well, if my career is, say, 40 years, and they buy a house every 10 years, they're going to buy 4 houses from me. And if the average sales price is $200, right? So they're going to buy 4 houses at $200. That's $800,000 worth of sales in a simple, really simple math. But they have a house to sell as well, at least 3 of those times. That's 7. So 7... Let's see, it's 4 plus 7, it's 4 plus 3, that's 7, right? So 7 times 200 average sales price is $1.4 million worth of sales. We know they're going to move up, but I'm not going to put that into the calculation because I don't know that I could do the math in my head. Let's say the average commission is 2% because it's so much easier than saying 3%. That's $280,000 or no, $28,000 in commission. So by that calculation, the average real estate customer is worth $28,000 to each person. I think I did that right. So that would be a way that you could do a simple calculation. On the show notes, I'll have a link to, I think, Walmart's cost. I think they said something like we're worth $200,000 or $300,000 to them because they figure our lifetime of purchasing over and over and over again. And so the big companies have figured this out. Lifetime value is important, which is why service is so important. In fact, lifetime value is probably the biggest missed opportunity number for small businesses because they don't realize that keeping their customers happy and purchasing over and over again, even if it's a long-term process like real estate, for instance, is still more cost-effective than doing new leads. In fact, if you do your customer acquisition number and you have your lifetime number, you can do this really cool number that you can do that gives you an idea of, am I really doing what I need to do to take care of these clients? And the answer is usually no. But so basically, lifetime value, take your customer average spending minus the gross margin and you divide by your retention rate. All right, that's the actual calculation for those of you that are playing at home. So if you take this number, this lifetime number, and you divide it by your customer acquisition number, like I said, you get this really other cool number that I didn't write down the acronym for, but it gives you a sort of an ROI number. And if that number is 3 or 4 or higher, you are in good shape. You are in good shape. Now, I am not going to try to describe this over a podcast. What I'm going to do is put an example on the show notes. The show notes are at FordMarketing.com/podcast. And then you can see the, you'll be able to see the show there. So that's where you'd get the calculation. Already my head is hurting just because of thinking of all these numbers. All right. So those three numbers that I just told you about, the CAC and the LTV. Man, look at me. I sound like a PMP. But no, so basically the customer acquisition number and the lifetime value are numbers that you should know off the top of your head. Just the same thing like gross profit, net profit, all those sort of things, as well as this other number. This other number, like I said, I wish I knew the acronym for it, but this other number, what you're looking for is that sort of magic number of one divided by the other. Does it equal 3 or 4? Because basically what you're looking at is that, like I said, the ROI of your business. And so what it essentially means is that if you're doing this right and you're investing in this particular channel, like we said, billboards, for instance, if you're investing in the right channel, then, you got a 4, you're basically returning back 4 times your money. So you're sort of basically able to put your investor hat on or your business owner hat and sort of say, okay, if we continue doing X, we're going to get a 4X return. And so we need to keep doing that. So that's the point of that. The other one that you want to look at is your website traffic. Now, this is one of my favorite ones because this is what I do all the time, is look at website traffic. I think a lot of times business owners log into their Google AdWords account and they get, just sort of their eyes glaze over because of, all the numbers there. So really what you want to look at is sessions. You want to look at sources. And you basically, sessions are just basically, how many times are your site being used? You could look at visits or users. Users is a good one. But you want to settle on one metric that you can sort of judge and say, are we moving the ball forward? Are we getting more traffic? Are we getting the more kinds of traffic that we want where we want it? The other one, like I said, sources, is where I'm spending my money, is it working? So like if you're spending on SEO, your organic should be going up. If you're spending on pay-per-click, that's easily tracked. If you're spending on Facebook, your Facebook should go up. So that's what you want to look at. You want to look at sources. The other thing you want to look at, and it could be in the same sort of Google Analytics panel, if you will, but not necessarily all there, is your conversion rate. So your conversion rate, in fact, they even have a new designation for professionals now called CRO, which stands for conversion rate optimization, similar to SEO, but it's basically for like landing pages and helping you with your business. So that's something I'm very excited about, is conversion rate optimization. Because it basically, once you've got your customer where you want them, as far as traffic is concerned, these tweaks can actually just sort of really help you generate sales as opposed to just leads. So conversion rate, you can look at that very easily in an analytics report. Number of visitors, then it tells you divided by the number of goals that you hit. And that gives you your conversion rate. So it's a very simple number, but it's one of those ones that very few people know and they don't know how to measure it. So if you measure it over time, hey, our conversion rate is 5% month over month over month over month, and then it goes down to 2, something changed. So this is one of those numbers that's kind of like a thermometer, if you will, for your business to be able to kind of tell, hey, are we still living? Are we still doing good? and you want to track that, your conversion rate. And then the last one out of the five is your source of business. Again, I said sources on on the analytics side of things, and certainly you could look at that as your traffic sources, but your source of business. When someone says, "How'd you find us?" and you say, "I found you on Google." Well, great. You need to know those sources of business, because ultimately that's how you're going to be able to get the numbers that you need from your customer acquisition costs. And it also tells you where some of the best sources of business are. I mean, that's what sources of business is. That's sort of redundant. But the reality of it is that is really, really important, is to be able to know if these things are working. In fact, one year, it felt so hectic that we didn't track our business. And then we looked at it, and it was like 40% of our business came from past clients and referrals. This was without a system. This was without us trying. And really eye-opener, that was a big missed opportunity there. If we got 40% of our business without doing anything, imagine if we had actually invested some time and energy into converting more opportunities out of that, actually tried to generate leads that way. So it's important to know where your business is coming from. So just to kind of recap, we've got your customer acquisition cost. We've got your lifetime value. And so you take those two numbers, you divide them, and that gives you a wonderful number to say, what's my ROI on this? The other thing is that you want to look at your website traffic, especially if you're in a sort of looking at internet marketing, but it's one of the few things that you can track pretty intently as far as finding numbers. But you really want to just pick that one key metric, whether it's sessions or users. You really want to point at one key metric when it comes to website traffic. You also want to look at your sources, and your sources are going to tell you sort of what marketing channels are working for you, which ones are moving up, which ones aren't, and is what you're doing moving the dial there. The other one you want to track, and this is on a consistent basis, is your conversion rate. You want to look at every lead source you have, look at the conversion rates, and see which ones are working out the best, which ones are working out not so good. So stuff with low conversion rate doesn't mean you want to throw it away. Internet leads have a typically low conversion rate. Typically, they may only convert 5% of the leads out of internet leads versus, say, 85% of a past client. But but you can scale. Sometimes low conversion rates means that you can scale to a size that's going to, you can use automation and some other things to make it really worth your while. So conversion rate isn't a decision factor necessarily. What it is more of a thermometer. Are we doing what we need to do in this particular part of our business? And then five, the source of business. And this isn't a number that you take, but more or less just a count. In fact, many business owners just use a tick mark, the name of the source, the name of the channel, and then a little tick mark next to that, old school, sort of almost like an abacus, moving the little thing over there. So those are the five things that I think all business owners should be tracking. In addition to sort of net profit in business, you should be able to talk about things sort of like, what does it cost to get a new business, to get a new client, and what is the generic cost of that? So now that you've got the metrics that you want to track, the next thing you're going to want to do is actually track them. And CRMs kind of fail a lot of times if they have a really good analytics side of the CRM. Chances are that they sort of fail in all the stuff that you actually need, which is sort of unfortunate. But really, one of the best tools to use is an Excel or Google sheet, and just track it that way. It's probably going to take you a few hours to set up, but once you do, then it's just sort of a monthly thing. You can put it on your calendar or have an assistant do it and actually update the numbers. When we listen to this episode, a lot of times we'll talk about episodes, oh, that'd be great if I did that, or it might be, it might be something I need to do. This is something that you really need to do. You need to get a grasp of the numbers that affect your business, and you need to be tracking it, because in addition to your database, this is the information that's gonna make your business sellable. If you ever wanna sell your business, and maybe you don't, maybe you think, my business is gonna die with me, and that's fine. But if you want to sell your business, there's really two pieces of the business. If I'm going to do a business brokerage deal for you, for instance, let's say you call me up and say, hey, can you help me sell your business? And I'd say, yep, I can do that. The things that the people are going to want are going to want to know, what is your customer base? Do you have a database? And that's going to make it really valuable. but then also what are the numbers? And the better you are at the numbers, the more clear it is, the easier it is going to be for you to sell the business. And it gets tougher as the business grows and there's multiple departments and whatnot. And obviously you can get much more advanced analytics on this stuff if you decide to get the software for that kind of thing. I think if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're an entrepreneur, you want to be an entrepreneur, or you are a small business. If you're a service person and you're licensed and you're inside an office, I'll say you're a mortgage broker and you're listening to this, you're still an entrepreneur. I mean, the reality of it is that in this day and age, if you have not grasped that you are essentially a contractor, even though your status with the government might be an employee, that we are living in a society today where everyone is interchangeable for these businesses, that they can move us in and out, and that we need to be thinking like contractors with our career, even if we're in the marketplace. So that was for somebody who's listening. I don't know who, but just felt like I needed to tell you that. But for everybody else that's running their own business, I mean, you're kind of in the same boat, right? Your customers are the ones that hire you. So at the end of the day, though, you need to know, is this a profitable decision to do business with this customer? Is this a profitable decision to market using this channel? So that's all I've got for you guys today, is just want a reminder to do the sort of the stuff that most entrepreneurs I meet do not want to do numbers. And this is this is something that's hard for me too. Like, I've got to put it on my calendar, usually block out all distractions just so that I can get my numbers down and understand how does this business work and what's the best thing for me to do. So anyway, thanks so much for listening to this. If you like this podcast and you want more analytics, I'm sorry, I'm actually not going to ask you to send me an email about that, because chances are I'm probably not going to want to do that. I like analytics to a point, but not enough to want to do multiple episodes on it. There is a few other books out there and other podcasts that you certainly can listen to. But this was really just for my small business owners to sort of remind them, hey, know your numbers and do that. And so next week, we've got a great episode lined up for you called the Secrets of Netflix. And so you really want to tune into that, because we get back to sort of the digital marketing, growth hacking sort of side of this podcast. And I've got a special treat for you lined up with one of my longtime friends, Dr. Rob McClelland. He is the former CEO of Equip. He's led denominations and just all kinds of different things. This guy is a leadership guru, and I hate the word guru, but I mean, if there ever was one, there's John Maxwell maybe, and then there's this guy. And so you really should tune in to listen. We're going to do some joint episodes. I'm pretty pumped about it, because if you've listened to the intro for any short period of time, it says, hey, we're going to help you grow your business. And we talk about lead generation stuff. We haven't gotten into leadership. And there's a ton of leadership information for small business owners that, they just don't teach you, how to fire someone, how to hold someone accountable, how to actually lead a team meeting, those sort of things. We'll be covering those. And I will give you some teasers on the next episode of what we're going to cover with Dr. Rob, and don't know if that'll be a thing that happens frequently on this podcast, or if it'll just be sort of a leadership session for your small business. So you're going to want to stay tuned to that. And like I said, if you like this podcast, if you love listening to me for whatever reason, I know there's a small number of you, but if you love this, please share this with your friends, your colleagues. Send me an email at joshua@fordmarketing.com. Let me know that you like listening to this, and I would take your suggestions as well as any critiques that you might have. So again, thanks so much for listening, and make it a great day.